So we close all doors, all avenues to bring these two sections of the people. Is it feasible from a long-term point of view in a country where the Muslims are a minority? Mr. Chairman, over the last 50 years, today we may be happy that our university admission percentage is increasing. Say from 2%, in the 1980s it had come to 6.87%. But that is once again a misleading figure. We are entering into areas and disciplines which others have already abandoned and gone. If you take the science streams, arts, engineering, and other streams, Muslim admissions is very rare. We are going into areas, arts, commerce. These are the areas where there is no competition and the Muslims are going and finding places in those slots. There's another important factor. I happened to read a research article by Dr. Chandrasekaran, a senior lecturer at the University of Colombo. He is identifying some of the causes of the Muslim learning today, rather the education among the Muslims. One of the main points that he brings forth is that these graduates that whom we are producing today are graduates who become unemployable. Universities are not, from the universities, Muslims are not training themselves to cater to the demand. We are training ourselves to areas where there is no demand. At the GCA level, we are not assisting our students to prepare for the exam. There are economic difficulties. There are a number of Muslim students who are dropping out of the universities. In 1985, according to some survey, there is only 3.9% of graduate teachers in Muslim schools. Only 3.9% compared to 88.2% in Sinhala schools and 7.9% in Tamil schools. Absenteeism. There are ladies, sisters, you must understand, the growing percentage of Muslim girls leaving the schools after they attain their puberty. This is another area where you have to concentrate. Even if everything is okay, but the schools are not properly equipped. We are not concentrating at schools which are producing and preparing students to enter the university. Some of the present problems that we face are the difficulties in finding admission to good schools. As a politician, as a member of parliament, as a leader of a political party, I know what is happening. Every day, number of our friends want admission to good schools. But we are unable to find admissions. Nobody knows what the reason is. When you go to a good school, we are told, well, we cannot admit you, you go to Zahira College. But Zahira College is not a good school, I'm sorry to say this. It cannot compete with Royal College or St. Thomas's. Many of my friends come and meet me. I have told them, you ask me to do anything, but don't ask me admission for your children. That has become the most difficult task today. Muslim students are unable to find admission in good schools. In schools like Zahira College, it's very unfortunate. Some of us who serve in the committees, I'm not blaming them. If I am there, I may do the same thing. But they do not have the confidence to put their own children in the school which they are managing. So with this contradiction around us, how are we going to promote the education among the Muslims? Today, there is an acute necessity for a school, Muslim boys' school in Colombo. The Sri Lanka Muslim Congress has taken up that task. We met Her Excellency the President, who had assured and who are given a directive to establish a Muslim school for the Colombo South Boys' School. Do you know what is happening in Kandy? For the last 16, 17 years, those Muslims who are interested in the education of the Muslim boys in Kandy are finding it difficult to establish a school of their own. And thanks once again to Her Excellency the President. Orders have been given. We are trying to locate the land to establish a school in Kandy. Take, for example, what happened in Matale. Matale Amina Vidyale, the only Muslim school for the Muslim girls. The adjoining land was taken over to put up quarters for police officers. So it was a big struggle. Amidst big struggle, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we succeeded, and on a presidential directive and intervention, the police department was ordered to hand over the school to the Muslims. So the educational standards of the Muslim community have to be built up among lot of problems. There are chauvinistic tendencies that we have to face every day. If we have to retain our individualism and our characteristic as Muslims. There are stepmotherly treatment of Muslim schools on the questions of infrastructure development. We don't get equitable distribution of the resources of the Ministry of Education. These are the problems that we are facing. Mr. Chairman, today, after the 80s, the university admission has increased. Thanks once again to Dr. Badruddin Mahmood, the policy of standardization. Today, there are arguments for and against as to why the standardization has to be done away with. University students have to be selected purely on merits. If that happens, what will happen to the Muslim community and the admission rate of the Muslim students? Are we concentrating on vocational training? Is there an institution to guide Muslim youth to other available areas other than universities, such as law, accountancy, computer technology, etc.? The most important is, Mr. Chairman, the question of backwardness in the English language. Once again, there is this necessity to study the English language. The fear that the English language will convert us does no longer exist, because we are today a republic. We are capable of getting all the good things from the English language. But is there an effort, concerted effort, to teach English to our children? Then once again, they say history repeats itself. We find the plethora of international schools. Now, T.B. Jaya was fighting, Armuga Navala was fighting, Anagarika Dharmapala was fighting against the Christian philosophy coming through English education. But today, we find English education once again entering history repeating itself. And we are giving more importance to English education and the Christian philosophy than the emphasis that we have to place on Islamic philosophy and Islamic environment. Therefore, I felt we are coming back to square number one. I would like to place before this audience some issues as issues for the future. How do we pump in the Islamic philosophy in the curriculum of our modern education? How do we build an effective bridge between the Quran school, the Hifl school, the Arabic madrasas, and Arabic universities like Nalimia and the modern schools? Is it going to be an institutional arrangement, or will it be based on an individual effort? How do we ensure the adoption of a single language for the Muslim homes? Will the present trend of the Muslim homes switching over from Tamil to Sinhala ultimately bring about a permanent divide between the Muslims as Tamil-speaking Muslims and Sinhala-speaking Muslims? to what extent such a development will weaken the political strength of the minority community. If so, what corrective measures should we adopt? If not, are we getting ready to produce single medium MOS, medium of education becoming an important factor in the determination of marriages? Total alienation of the Northeast Muslims from the rest of the Muslim community. In other words, the political backbone of the Muslims of Sri Lanka lies in the Eastern province. The moment you divide the Tamil-speaking Muslims from the Sinhala-speaking Muslims, the majority of the Muslims, two-thirds of the Muslims, will be minus the political strength. The inadequacy of the Islamic philosophy, the advisability of confining Muslim schools to 100% Muslim students, social adjustment problems, belated understanding of the culture and philosophy of fellow students, total isolation from the rest of the communities. This is one of the matters that I have to just touch. In the Eastern province, we see this. There are Muslim schools, 100% Muslim students, not a single Tamil student. There are Tamil schools, 100% Tamil students. There isn't a single Muslim in that school. If you ask a Muslim from the Eastern province to prepare a list of his best 100 friends, you will not see a single Tamil name in that. Similarly, you ask a Tamil from the Northeast to prepare his list of friends. The first 100, I will take any bet, there will not be a single Muslim in that list. A new generation is coming up. It is unlike the friendship that we have had in the yester generations. Siva, myself, in our area, our generation, there are a number of people. Zahira College, under late A.M. Aziz, produced a generation of people of all communities. They were there. But today, the too much of emphasis and confining the Muslim schools and the benefits of the Muslim schools only to the Muslim students have also led to some of the problems. So in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, the future. The Muslim Scholarship Fund has a positive role to play. It is high time we get rid of the myth of the Muslim education, and the emphasis should be from Muslim education to Islamic learning. It was an educationist, Rose, W.D. Rose, who said, education and philosophy are two sides of the same coin. But I would like to say, learning and philosophy are two sides of the coin. For the Muslim community, the learning on one side, Islamic philosophy on the other side, they have to go as two sides of the same coin. Finally, the final question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is the objective of the Islamic learning? If you ask a Hindu, he will say in Tamil, Sandorai Uruvakkudal. In Tamil, they say, Sandorai Uruvakkudal. That is, you create good people. Objective of education is the creation of good people. Purifying the body, purifying the mind, and purifying the soul. Purity of all three create the perfect man. This is the Hindu philosophy. Those of you who know Ramayana will know that Valmiki defines Raman as the perfect man. He is asking the question in Ramayana, who is a perfect man? The qualities of a perfect man, a man who possesses strength, who is aware of his obligations, truthful in an absolute way, firm in the execution of his vows, compassionate, learned, attractive, self-possessed, powerful, free from envy and anger, but terror-striking when aroused. These are the qualities of a perfect man. What should be the objective of the Islamic learning? In the Islamic learning also, in the Islamic philosophy also, we believe in the soul, the body, and the mind. Today's education, today's learning has helped only the body. It has become as a license to becoming a money-making machine in the future. Sometimes it is a license to be a very costly product in the marriage market. Other than that, what has this education done? What is the benefit that the community has received from those graduates from the universities and law colleges? I'm not saying that they are not contributing individually, but the learning has to contribute to the collective life of the people. Our prayers is collective. Individually you can pray. What is commendable is the collective life. The essential distinction between a Muslim ummah and other ummah is, in every other ummah, in every other community, it is the individuals who live. Unlike in the Muslim community, where there is collective existence. In Ramayana, we are talking about a perfect man. To creating the Sandroor in Tamil, that is the objective of that education. What is the objective of an Islamic learning? The answer is, وَمَا حَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The 24 hours, man cannot play any other role except to worship God. He is the vicegerent of God, the Khalifa of God. And can our learning, our teaching, help the people to produce this vicegerents, the Khalifas, on this world? Even if he does not pass the exam at schools, a Muslim has to and should pass the questions of the Qabr, the grave. And he has to pass the questions on the day of judgment, the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Muslims should have enough time and leisure for their souls. It's another important problem we are faced with. Our students, tuition. From morning till evening, tuition. Has this system of education helped to find sufficient time to youngsters to prepare themselves for their souls? Thus, the need to be involved to the philosophy of the Holy Quran and the life of the Prophet and his rightly guided followers and the Islamic history. Mr. Chairman, I think I have exceeded the time allocated to me. Once again, I confess and I acknowledge my incompetence to deal in this subject. I was given 3 weeks' time, but I had to formulate my thoughts since yesterday morning. I may be wrong, and I hope I am wrong. I will feel happy if I have succeeded in creating some questions in your mind to which a future meeting or a conference will find the right answers. Thank you once again for the honor that you have bestowed upon me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.